Welcome to Cherished Women with Kimberly Walton. With a look into issues facing today's Christian women. Let's be honest, with all the things coming at us, it's easy to become inundated with life's messiness. As a wife, mother, founder of Cherished Wives International, and a marriage mentor, Kimberly fully understands how difficult it can be for a woman to balance work, life, home, and love. Today, she'll help you navigate life's challenges so you may thrive in life, love, and marriage. Now, here's Kimberly Walton with a topic on being cherished.
Hey there, nice to have you here with me today. So I have been thinking, you see, I travel often and I do workshops and talks on my Cherished Women topics and why I'm Cherished Wives topics. And sometimes this travel requires that I fly. So you know when you're in the airplane and they're giving you all the safety instructions and they talk about how the seat cushion can be used as a flotation device in the event of a water landing and to look for the nearest exit, noting basically that it may be behind you. And then they talk about the oxygen masks. You know, they will, if there was a sudden loss of cabin pressure, that they would drop down from the ceiling, and you're instructed at that time to be sure that you put yours on first. Yes, yours first before you help others. Now, they don't tell you why to do this, but most people, they understand, they get the reason why, and it's actually quite simple. If you get your oxygen mask on first, then you can help others. If you do not, well, you get the point, right? So my version of helping ourselves so that we can help others is the idea that you cannot pour from an empty cup. Now, you've most likely probably heard that saying before, that you cannot pour from an empty cup. And it's absolutely true. No matter how hard one tries, if a cup is empty, you simply cannot pour anything from it. Meaning that we cannot help ourselves, we cannot serve others, or even help others in any way if we are completely depleted. And you cannot achieve all that God dreams for you if you're running on empty. But what about the concept of having multiple cups? Not just one cup, but several cups of self-care. People talk about mind, body, and spirit, but I want to propose that we have not three areas of self-care, but actually four areas of self-care, what I call the four cups of self-care. Now, this idea of four cups of self-care is a topic that is near and dear to me, mostly because I have learned the hard way, probably as you have too, that when we deplete ourselves, it doesn't serve us in the long run. It makes us cranky, irritable, forgetful, less tolerant, less likely to hear God, more impulsive. You know, I could go on here. Yet we do let our self-care cups go dry. And I think at this time of the year, it's very timely for us to talk about this. We find ourselves in the middle of the hustle and bustle of the holiday season. We are ramping up for more festivities, and we're doing a year in review and even making plans for the next year with our resolutions and such. And it's never more important to focus on replenishing our four cups of self-care than it is at this time of year. Now, I want to suggest that while both are beneficial, that I have come to learn that self-care and pampering are absolutely not the same thing. So I want to stress that. Self-care and pampering, they are not the same thing. In fact, my best and most fruitful self-care is often what I call the unglamorous kind, not the pampering kind, especially if it's self-care that's preventative in nature. Now, when I speak to women and I'm doing talks at women's groups and I talk about self-care, I ask them about good self-care, and I ask them what it means to them and how they've applied good self-care lately. What I hear back are fine ideas, things like, oh, I've gotten a pedicure, I got a massage, I'm making time to read, I'm taking a walk in nature, I'm having lunch with a friend. And again, all of those are fine ideas. I think they're all valuable. But these are all well and good, but self-care is not just sunshine and rainbows and bubble baths and unicorns and massages. When I ask women about their unglamorous or ugly self-care, most just look at me like, I did some sort of code talking and spoke another language. The unglamorous side of self-care is basically adulting 101, if you will. And you know what I mean by that. It can be really ugly and even downright scary at times. So let's take a look at these four cups of self-care. Now, the first cup of self-care is, in my opinion, often the easiest of the cups to recognize when it's depleted. It is the self-care cup that is labeled physical. Interestingly enough, it is also, in my opinion, the easiest to refill or to prevent from getting so low. Things like sleep, exercise, eating well, getting good nutrients, health, dental checkups, they're all part of the physical self-care cup. If you're not getting enough sleep, you know that you are not in tip-top shape. And if you habitually are not getting enough sleep, you know that it's taking a toll on you. It most certainly affects your memory, makes you more forgetful, absolutely. You're also more accident prone. You find that you are absolutely more irritable. And research even suggests that if you are sleep deprived, you are typically going to be less thankful and that you have up to a 40% chance more likely to fight with your spouse. And that's just from being sleep deprived. Now, the unglamorous side of physical self-care, again, not pampering, includes things like going to the dentist, scheduling your annual women exam, getting new glasses, having lab work done to ensure that your blood levels are all good, drinking green smoothies, and eating nourishing food, even if it's not your favorite, right? Ugh. These are things that people really look forward to, said no one. You know, people don't look at these things and say, yes, I really want to go to the dentist. I really want to go get my eyes checked or any of those things. Okay. Now, actually, I really like green smoothies. I don't like the preparing part. But how about things like getting your blood drawn or getting a mammogram? You know, mammograms are done in a cold room, in a cold machine. It's not glamorous. And I'm sure no one looks forward to these things. But you know they're important. And you know why we do it. This is what is meant by unglamorous or unglam self-care. Sometimes we procrastinate, but we know these things are needed, which just adds more stress and depletes our cups even further when we do not tend to them. Besides these doctoring kind of things, we can also replenish our physical cup by getting our bodies moving, making the effort to park a little further away than necessary. Which probably won't be a problem right about now if you're doing any sort of holiday shopping or anything like that. Choosing to take the stairs, even if it's just a flight or two, instead of the elevator. These fill our physical cup. Maybe just slightly, but a little bit goes a long way when we start adding it up. Food also fills our cup. Have you ever let yourself get so hungry that you have then overeaten? Hey, hand raised here, I totally have done that. I try to always have a healthy snack available, like a protein bar or nuts, so that I can set myself up for success. But honestly, it doesn't always go down like that. You know, and the other thing, don't go to the store hungry, right? We know this, but we still do it. A couple months ago, the hubby and I were headed to Costco, and my husband decidedly, kind of unexpectedly said, hey, let me take you to lunch. And I thought, oh, how sweet. And told him, you know, I thought that was super sweet. And his response was actually pretty brilliant to me. He says, I love you, babe. And you know what? I know better than to take you to Costco hungry. So I was like, okay, thank you. So he set me up for success. And I think sometimes if we don't have somebody else to help set us up for success, we've got to set ourselves up. So knowing that you need to do some of these little things is significant. You know, the Bible tells us that our bodies are temples. They are temples, but it doesn't say that they are invincible. But yet, we treat them as if they are. The next cup of self-care is our emotional cup. Now, just to be clear, I start with the physical cup, and I want to talk about that for a second, because I think that that's one of the ones that we put off the most, but it's one of the ones that we can actually make the quickest progress in. The one that we can find out that we can, you know, our iron's low, or we are low on vitamin D, or just eating a little healthier. So that one, that physical cup is really significant because it affects the other cups. Okay. So our next cup of self-care is our emotional cup. And I have areas that I start with when working with women and we talk about the emotional cup. The emotional cup, when we talk about emotions, isn't just, you know, tears and things like that. But you know what? It very well can be. And what I like to say is two of the things we have to look at with the emotional cup is we have to start saying yes, no, yes, more, and no more. Yes to things that bring us true joy. Yes to things that bring us happiness. Yes to slowing down. Maybe yes to even speeding up. Yes to more family time. Yes to more time with our friends and our circles. And yes to more things that bring us joy and connect us to other people. Yes, yes, yes to things like that that fill up our cups. But I also think that saying no is just as important. Now, by saying no, I want to say something here. That we say no to things that either deplete us or in some way do harm to us or our families. But we have to be really, really careful about saying no. Because when we say no, sometimes people will say, oh, it's a boundary. And one of the things I have found when people start claiming boundaries is people will say no for all of the wrong reasons. Sometimes people claim to be setting a boundary when in actuality, what they're doing is they're bullying their way. They're forcing their way on other people by saying it's a boundary. They're refusing to compromise. They're refusing to listen to somebody else's point of view. They are refusing to be a part of the solution. So I always challenge my clients by saying, if you're saying yes to things and you're saying no to things, really let's look at why you're saying yes, what the outcome is going to be, and why you're saying no. Rarely is yes the real issue unless it's yes to spending money you don't have or yes to things that are somehow hurting your family. Most of us know we shouldn't be doing those. And that's not what today's talk about is about. But I do really, really, really want to caution you on when you say no. When you say no, are you saying no to something because it's making your family stronger? Are you saying no to something because it's building up your cup and your reserves? Or are you saying no so that you can force your way? Are you saying no as a way to refuse to compromise? In that case, you might need to step back, take a look at that, and you might need to start saying yes a little more. Another thing that fits into our emotional cup is that we need to cry. Yep, we need to cry. Sometimes we need to cry, and we need to cry to the point that it's like that ugly cry. You know that cry that is so heart-wrenching that if you were to try to talk, it would be unintelligible. It would come out in some sort of foreign-sounding language. That kind of cry. Sometimes we have to let things go. And sometimes when we cry, we need to be crying more out to God. We need to ask Him for information. We need to ask Him to help us to understand. We need to ask Him to soothe us and to hold us. And sometimes we don't cry enough. And I don't mean like, you know, crying just because you're watching a movie, but I mean the cry that really lets your barriers down. And I know that that's scary, but it's also very valuable. I also encourage you to do more what I call reach outs. Reach outs basically help us to reach out to friends and families when we're feeling down or blue. They are a way of seeking help. They are a way of reaching out to somebody that is safe. I know it can be hard to ask for help, and that requires being vulnerable. And for a lot of people, the word vulnerable is basically a four-letter word. Vulnerability can be scary. In fact, most of us, including me at times, we run from the idea of being vulnerable. And we've been taught that from a very early age. So I'm not here to say that you shouldn't do it, because you have to be selective about the people that you reach out to. You have to be selective with the people that you let in to that vulnerable space. But reach outs can be a very, very good thing. Reach outs can be significant. And, you know, it's good to be reaching out to others in another way. Because when we reach out, you know what else happens? It gives others a chance to help us and to serve us. And when you stop and you really think about that, when you stop and you think about how those reach outs give us a chance to let other people serve us, sometimes it's helpful to think about how we have been there for other people. I bet you if you were to take a few minutes and just think about it, you've had people in your life that have come to you when they had a tough time for whatever reason, and you've been able to help them. You've been able to comfort them. You've been able to serve them, and you've been basically be able to be of service. You've been able to be God's hands at times. So reaching out is can be something that's good for you, but it's also something that allows other people to serve and to be of service. Okay. Another thing that's important when it comes to our emotional self-care cup is that it's valuable to challenge our attitudes and our self-talk. Now, Matthew 7, 17 and 18 reminds me of this. It says that a good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. So let me just repeat that. A good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. And there's more to this verse. I know that this verse is more about actions, and that's an important distinction, but I think that it also reminds me of our self-talk and our attitudes and our beliefs towards others. Okay? So it's our inner beliefs, and it's our attitudes towards others, and what we're thinking, and all of that self-talk, because if you stop and think about it, most often the self-talk that we have, it's not positive, it's not kind, it's not loving, okay? So if those are the things that you're saying to yourself, then it's hard to be the bearing good fruit, okay? So if your mental chatter, your inner mental chatter is all gloomy, and your beliefs and your attitudes towards others is negative and contrary, then that's what's going to come out. It has to. It can't help but be that. Many years ago, I remember when I was much younger, I was sitting in a college psychology class, and the teacher gave us a really good example that made this point. And the professor held out an orange, and he held out a lemon. And he asked, if I squeeze the orange, what comes out? Now, we kind of took it as rhetorical, but he asked. He said, what is it? What comes out if you squeeze this orange? And we all replied and said, orange juice. And he's like, right, exactly. And then he says, if I squeeze this lemon, what comes out? So we had already been primed. We knew the answer. And we said, lemon juice, of course. And he went on to say, okay, so if we squeeze the orange, we get orange juice. If we squeeze the lemon, we get lemon juice. What if we have a lemon that looks like an orange and I squeeze it? Now, we were all freshmen at the time, but we were smart enough to know that if you squeeze a lemon, you're still going to get lemon juice no matter what the outside looks like. And so it was this situation where he basically said the outside and the inside, we were looking at the differences between the two of them. So we all responded that lemon juice, yes, is what he exclaimed. He goes, yes, exactly. When we are squeezed, what comes out? And that was his point. And I thought it was very, very telling that no matter what the outside looks like and what we are presenting on the outside, when we are squeezed, what comes out is what's inside. And so when we're looking at these cups of self-care, one of the things I really want to stress here is what's going on inside. If your thoughts are tart, lemony thoughts, if your beliefs and your attitudes and you're angry, whether it be at God or the world or your mate or in-laws or whatever it might be, then when you're squeezed, what's going to come out is lemon. It's going to be tart and sour. But if your thoughts inside and your beliefs and your attitudes are of a tasty orange, if you will, if you'll bear with me as I keep going with my analogy here, then what's going to come out when you're squeezed is the idea of the tasty orange. And so I ask you, my friend, what do you want? When you're squeezed, what do you want to come out? Do Do you want it to be the tart lemon, or do you want to be a refreshing orange? When things are tough and you're squeezed, which is it? If you're not tending to your emotional cup, then you're going to find that what's going to happen when you're squeezed is the lemon is going to come out. That sour, that tart is going to come out. Okay? Now, our next self-care cup is basically the bookend to the emotional cup. And it goes hand in hand with your mental cup. And this is all about understanding what's really depleting our mental cup. Dealing with the things that take too much mental energy, the things that nag us in our head, the things that we tolerate rather than resolve. It could be something as simple as we need to finish a photo album for a gift. It could be the fact that we have too much mental clutter or clutter in our home, or that we have a bad habit of not prioritizing or procrastinating. These things are all part of our mental self-care. Now, the mental self-care, one of the things that we have with this is understanding that our mental self-care is kind of two parts. It's the things that we want to do that keep us stimulated, but it's also the things that what's going to come up is we want to be alert. We want to be alive. And those things are a lot of times related to our physical self-care cup. Okay. Now, our fourth cup has to do with our spiritual self-cup. And this is actually my favorite. This is hands down my favorite self-care cup because it's the easiest to fill. And the Bible has so many accounts where Jesus shows us the importance of our spiritual self-care cup by seeking filling through prayer and right thought. The Bible has so many options or so many verses where it talks about Jesus withdrawing to quiet places and praying. And I think that that's repeated so many times because it's supposed to be a good example. I also think with our spiritual self-care cup, we have to look at forgiveness. We have to forgive ourselves. We have to forgive others. We have to offer forgiveness for the things that we've done and the things that we will be doing. The other thing we have to do is we have to look at what our identity is all about. Do we recognize ourselves as children of God? Or do we identify ourselves as victims and seek out ways to justify our actions and our behaviors? When we remember that we're children of God and all those things work for His good, it becomes our responsibility to look for the good and to take away what God wants for us. One of my favorite songs, if not one of my absolute favorite, is a song called titled Dream for You by Casting Crowns. And it's all about how God dreams so big for us. And if we would just let Him, that we can be cradled in that and to let Him support us in our dreams and what He wants for us. So if I'm confused or bothered by a circumstance, one of the things I do is I put that song on and it instantly reminds me that God has plans for me and He dreams bigger for me, far bigger than I could even dream for myself. Now, the chorus reminds me also of Jeremiah 17, and I know that some will say that this is kind of out of context, but it is all about being blessed and trusting in God and having confidence in Him. And the idea of being supported and nourished as if we are a tree that's planted near the water and its roots get its support and strength from the stream. So I just want to say, my friend, that what is the real goal of self-care? Why does it even matter? Well, I have found that the goal of good self-care is to be able to thrive. It's to be able to be a good example and to be able to honor God. And much like we are in an emergency room, we have to triage our self-care. Self-care is important, but we need to know where to start and what to do. And I have to confess that my toughest self-care cup is physical self-care. So maybe it is for you, and maybe it's not. And as we think about that, I encourage you to take your self-care, look at where you need to start. What areas can you work on? What areas are the where can you find strength? So I leave you with this thought. We are instructed not to hate our bodies, but instead to feed and to care for it. Just as Christ cared for the church and by our bodies, one might be able to agree that we're also instructed not to hate our mental, spiritual, and emotional bodies as well. Be well and stay in touch, my friend, and nourish all of your four self-care cups. Thank you and have a beautiful and blessed day.
Thank you for listening to Cherished Women, where Kimberly Walton tackles issues facing today's Christian women. If you'd like to connect with Kimberly or you're interested in in-love approach or mentoring, visit CherishedWives.com. You'll find insightful blogs and videos, inspirational classes, and an invite to sign up for a free monthly newsletter. While there, look for the link to the Cherished Wives Facebook page to join their community of sharing insights and wisdom for Cherished Women. If you have a topic on your heart that you'd like to suggest for a show, reach out and let them know at their Let's Connect page at CherishedWives.com. Until next time, remember the wisdom of Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. CherishedWives.com.